Listen to the voices of our world.
Mainstream media is an environment for advertisers.
The U.S. news media just isn't doing the job that it should be doing for us in a democratic nation.
Their purpose is not to provide you information so you can make decisions about what's going on in your local community or in your state or in your national government. That's not what they're there to do.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm Eileen Bott. Once in a while, you and I might be guilty of shielding ourselves from the truth. You know, say you're in your accountant's office and, well, maybe you kind of signal that
you can't handle the truth.
But more often, you and I are kept in the dark because maybe our government, in order to sell us on a particular position, has decided for us.
You can't handle the truth.
Or we don't get the straight skinny from our local drive-time radio newscast, or TV, cable, or even our favorite paper, because the owners of those papers and stations know they're better off if they side with the government. So they've decided.
You can't handle the truth.
And that's what we're going to talk about, with journalist and author Adam Gamble and Mark Lloyd of the Center for American Progress. Speech still free? Or at some point, was it bought and paid for? Certainly not all, but darn near all media that you and I consume is owned by tyrannosaurus-sized business interests, chiefly dedicated to advertisers, shareholders, and a bottom line that drips black ink. That's right, while you and I were clipping coupons, CBS became Viacom, NBC MSNBC became GE, ABC became Disney. Clear Channel ate two-thirds of the radio pie, and Rupert Murdoch became the Wizard of Fox. Maybe it's not all that Orwellian, but to those giants, we probably are the malleable specks dotting their landscape. Objective? Independent? No way. Liberal? The incredible shrinking minority. In a time when the administration is pro-business, then the business of media becomes protective of its ally. Makes sense. Two people were fired this past year for photographing flag-draped coffins. When ABC's Tet Koppel devoted one night's broadcast of Nightline to read a roll call of soldiers killed in Iraq, a sizable number of affiliates refused to air it. Same thing happened when the network ran the Spielberg film Saving Private Ryan. Anything that might influence against war might influence against the powers in D.C. Then the Sinclair Broadcast Group, close to the election, decided to air on 62 of its affiliates Stolen Honor, a film attacking Senator Kerry. They fired a lone company objector, Jonathan Lieberman, but just to reassure you that we the people occasionally still count, anti-Sinclair backlash swelled, including several boycott Sinclair websites, and the company's broadcast plans hung a yui. Kathy Golden talked with an expert on media issues, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, Mark Lloyd.
Mainstream media is largely timid about any sort of politics. And I mean, you know, CBS and NBC and ABC and, you know, major papers like the Post and the New York Times and a few others. But then you have a fairly consistently partisan Fox News that almost a quarter of Americans rely on for their information about the election.
We report, you decide.
Exactly. A quarter of Americans rely on Fox News, and a majority of Bush supporters rely on Fox News. So the fact that we had these really very basic structural problems in terms of being able to get progressive messages out, and still, when all the votes that could be counted in a faulty system were counted, we were at 49%, is not bad. It is amazing that the table was not run on us in New York or in California or in a wide variety of other places. It's amazing to think that Philadelphia and Pittsburgh both went Democratic, that with all the biased, negative, and just plain wrong information about Iraq and terrorism that the majority of Bush supporters believed and a small minority of Kerry supporters believed, that this election was not won handily by an incumbent president. But I think there are a number of things that the Democrats need to change in order to better represent most Americans and to, you know, be consistent on issues and to move forward progressive values. But that's, again, that's not about getting elected. That's about, you know, my own personal
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you believe the results?
Again, I mean, I believe the results insofar as the votes that were counted.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there were more spoiled ballots and more people who walked away who didn't get a chance to vote, and perhaps, you know, some problems with some of the machines in Ohio. That, and I think if those problems were corrected, I believe Kerry would have won Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, aside from that, sure. Yeah.
At any rate, you said something a minute ago that really caught my ear. I thought it was overly polite, but I'll ask you. You said that the mainstream press was timid. And I've come to think of them as being absolutely corporately controlled.
Oh, and I think that's their timidity. Again, I didn't think that the mainstream press was either particularly tough on Kerry or particularly tough on Bush. I don't think the mainstream media did a particularly good job of explaining Kerry's health care plan and package, of having him explain what it is that he did in the Senate for the time that he was there, effectively. I don't think they did that, and they certainly didn't do that with Bush. Again, mainstream media is not designed to provide information to the American public to make decisions in elections. That's not what mainstream media is for. Mainstream media is an environment for advertisers. Once you understand that that's the basic structure for mainstream media, that newspapers, radio, television, that they are there to carry advertisements. That's their purpose. Their purpose is not to provide you information so you can make decisions about what's going on in your local community or in your state or in your national government. That's not what they're there to do. They're there to return dollars to shareholders, and the way they do that is to bring in advertisers and to provide a safe, really bland environment for advertising. I mean, that's why they're there. That does not describe dominant media in most of the rest of the industrial world, but that does describe the media structure in the United States.
Why is it we never see things coming? You know how on the late night news, the reporter interviews the next door neighbor of the just carted away serial killer, and the neighbor says,
"Yeah, he seemed nice, always polite, kept to himself."
Yep, we never see it coming. So if the once fabled liberal media has slowly morphed into a handful of outlets owned by megacorporations, beholden to the money changers and the government, how did we get here?
Was it always that way, Mark? Do you see it as that, or has it morphed into that?
Well, we didn't start out that way. You know, the founding fathers focused on a set of communications policy that made Republican participation in government and self-government a priority. The post office, which was the most modern communications infrastructure in the world in the early 1800s, it was far more advanced than anything in Europe, in France, or in England, or in any place else. It was subsidized entirely by the public. It was the largest part of the federal government. It subsidized the distribution of newspapers and personal communications and commercial communications, subsidized political communications. The government started with a very different set of structures. It was not set up designed to advance commerce. It was set up to advance political communication among citizens. We're certainly not there now, and those changes came about, you know, around the time of the robber barons and the giant battle over the trusts in the, you know, very late 1800s and early 1900s.
Mm.
And it goes back about as far as that. It has gotten worse. It's gotten worse, actually, since the mid-80s. But the fundamental goals of the founding fathers have been warped beyond recognition.
How true. Why do people still think that the media is largely liberal when it's not even allowed to be?
Well, it depends on what you think liberal means. I mean, I think that major mainstream media actually fairly accurately represents, you know, the views of people in power on either coast. I don't think it particularly represents, you know, the, you know, poor farmers in the Midwest or people in Mississippi. I think it more accurately represents what's going on in New York and California than it does any place else. Now, I don't know if I would call that liberal. I might call that libertine, and I might call that very economically conservative. But But that's corporate. I think it can be easily described as corporate, and I think corporate is liberal, frankly. I don't think corporate cares about the number of sexually explicit programs on television. The fact that the show Desperate Housewives is more popular in, you know, the so-called...
I still haven't seen it. What's wrong with me?
I mean, the Clear Channel and Infinity, these very conservative, economically conservative stations that are promoting the Republican Party, you know, are constantly being fined for obscenity, for violations of obscenity. And I think Fox is one of the worst of these programs. And the sort of programs that you see on Fox would have made, you know, my grandmother, you know, may she rest in peace, just sort of run from the television set. I mean, but the idea that somehow that's conservative, I have problems with that. I mean, it's not how I came to think of what conservative really meant. I mean, it certainly doesn't represent what I think are sort of, you know, the large views in places like Ohio and Iowa and Utah. And, but I do think it fairly represents the liberal views of people living in big cities. And the sort of things that people living in big cities are used to. I'm comfortable with those things, but I think it reflects more New York City than Des Moines.
I suppose, but, you know, Rupert Murdoch is winning. I mean, 62% of the American public, as late as September of last year, thought that Saddam did have something to do with 9/11. So Cheney and Mr. Murdoch and those guys won.
Well, they're very smart. Again, they're very partisan, and I think it's important to, you know, to sort of. And I think, you know, most Americans are actually pretty smart enough to sort of look beyond these, you know, labels of conservative and liberal, and what do you really mean? I mean, I don't think there's any question that Fox is a Republican partisan operation, and I wouldn't characterize CBS or NBC or ABC as being either one, frankly.
Mr. Lloyd, you are wonderful to talk to.
It's a pleasure to, you know, to spend this little bit of time talking with you in the morning, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Mr. Mark Lloyd.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye, Mark.
Can you handle the truth?
Just give it to me straight.
Sugarcoat it for me.
If it's bad news, I don't want to know.
Email us. Go to www.maryknoll.org/voices. Just choose the contact button. Or you can call us at 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL. I'm Eileen Bott, and you're listening to Voices of Our World.